This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's community access radio station Plains FM 96.9 and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Hi, and welcome to the Alcoholics Anonymous radio show here on Plains FM 96.9. My name is Kerry and I'm an alcoholic. The purpose of this show is to increase public awareness of Alcoholics Anonymous as an effective means of recovery from the disease of alcoholism. Our show has two parts. First, we'll talk a bit about alcoholism, what it is and what AA can do to help, and then we'll interview a recovering alcoholic who is an active member of AA. I'm now going to ask our guest to read the AA preamble, which is read at the start of every AA meeting.
Hi, I'm Caleb. I'm an alcoholic. In the preamble, Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organisation or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and to help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety.
So what is alcoholism? Alcoholism is a disease, not a disgrace. There's no shame in having an illness or a disease. An unusual feature of this disease is that it will do whatever it can to convince you that you do not have it. However, once it has a hold of you, the progression of symptoms is like the classic disease model and the victim is as helpless as a sufferer of cancer. If you are an alcoholic, you are at the beginning of a long road that usually ends in one of three places: prisons, institutions, or death. If you think this sounds dramatic, we can assure you that our collective experience has shown this to be true. The challenge is to convince the alcoholic to admit that they need help and become willing to seek it. Denial is a major symptom of alcoholism. The alcoholic is often the last one to recognise it and admit that they have it. Our definition of alcoholism is that it is an allergy of the body coupled with an obsession of the mind. The allergy is the physical aspect of the disease. After having the first drink, the phenomenon of craving develops and we lose control over when we will stop drinking. The old saying is one is too many and a thousand is never enough. And yet, because of the obsession of the mind, the mental aspect of the disease, the alcoholic is compelled to keep picking up the first drink. This makes us powerless. We often hear from sober alcoholics that many doubted whether life could be fun without alcohol. Fortunately, those same people report that their lives have improved dramatically since they became sober. The 12-step program of recovery, which is discussed at meetings and which is outlined in the Alcoholics Anonymous Big Book, is how we get sober and maintain our sobriety one day at a time. This program has a proven track record of helping otherwise hopeless alcoholics to achieve long-term sobriety and recovery, and has taught us how to enjoy life sober. Okay, for anyone who has just joined us, you're listening to the Alcoholics Anonymous radio show here on Plains FM 96.9. We're just about to interview an AA member who's going to share their experience with alcoholism. Would our guests like to introduce themselves and give us a quick sketch of who you are?
Yeah, thanks, Kerry. Good to be here. I'm Caleb. I'm an alcoholic. I'm in my late 20s. I've been sober for about 20 months now.
Wow.
Well, 20 months exactly today.
That's fantastic.
So my sobriety date is the 1st of January 2017.
1st of January?
Yes.
New Year's.
Yeah, I'm a resolution one.
Must be a blast.
I work in real estate sales.
Yes.
Family, look, I'm in a long-distance relationship with my partner. He lives in Auckland.
Right.
I'm born and raised in Christchurch, and as far as my childhood goes, it was fine. You went through some difficult things like parental breakups, and I was largely raised by my grandparents from the age of 11. So, bit different, but I still have a very good relationship with my family, so that's good.
That's great.
Yeah.
So when did you start drinking and how did it progress?
Yeah, I started drinking from my late teens. So I was raised in quite a strict Pentecostal Christian home where drinking was off the cards for the family. And I largely towed that line until I got, of course, into my late teens and wanted to rebel, do my own thing. I wanted to fit in.
Yes.
As I mentioned earlier in my introduction, I am in a same-sex relationship. So I was struggling with that as well, struggling to fit in. And for me, drinking was a way for me to fit in with my peers. And so, 17, was my first drink.
Do you remember the first drink? Do you remember how you felt? Do you remember what happened?
Well, funnily enough, one of my first memories of getting involved with alcohol was with our sixth form formal, and I went halves with one of my mates in a bottle of Canadian Club. But we were so young and so stupid, we didn't realise that you should actually mix it.
Oh, you drank it straight.
So we were trying to drink it straight, and we just thought it was awful. But then other memories of being at parties, just, you know, with beers and that sort of thing, and just that sort of buzz, that warm, tingly feeling, you know, this sort of sense of connection that I had with my peers, because that's, you know, some of the thing. Well, yeah. One of the thing that we had in common.
Yes.
Yep.
So, how did you drink? Were you a social drinker? Did you ever drink alone? Did you binge drink?
Yeah, I was largely a social drinker, and so from there on, it just continued. Of course, when I turned 18, that sort of newfound weekend lifestyle of going out with friends, and, you know, I was telling my grandparents that I was going to a friend's place to watch a movie, but really we were going out in the town, and I loved it. Just that thrill, the excitement, and you're not sure what was going to happen, and it just went on from there. I of course went to university afterwards, and you know, that's a huge drinking culture,
isn't it?
You know, with the university societies and whatnot. Yes. And it just continued, and you know, I've heard, and you know, and from other people, it's hard to spot an alcoholic in college or mm-hmm. at university, because mm-hmm. everyone's doing it. Yeah. But then after I finished university and went into work, I just carried on.
Yeah.
You know, every weekend it was a blowout.
Did you ever become a daily drinker?
Not precisely. Not one. You know, I never went into the mode of like, you know, the first thing I did was have a drink.
Right.
There were times where I probably would, you know, after work most days drink.
But you're still quite young.
Yeah.
So could have maybe a yet.
Yeah, so I'll regard that as a not yet. Yep.
Did you ever feel it was a problem at the time while you were doing all of this? Did it feel like maybe the alcohol was a problem? Did you ever try to stop?
So it was probably just in that year leading up to me coming into AA, so probably 2016, I'd regard as my annus horribilis.
Okay.
And that was just probably where the chickens were, you know, starting to come home to roast.
Yeah. So problems started to appear.
Yeah, you know, particularly sort of with my mental health, you know, the anxiety, particularly the day after, you know, oh no, what happened last night? What did I say? What did I do? You know, that was really starting to weigh quite heavily on me. And I was just starting to hate myself. I was beating myself up, saying, God, Caleb, is this all you do every weekend? You know, when are you going to get your shit together?
Yeah.
It was coming from there. And then certain things happened that sort of put me on notice. And I largely put that down to my higher power. A close friend of mine in Melbourne, who was a bit younger than me, in blackout, stole a car, went for a joyride, hit and killed someone. He's now in jail.
Oh, wow.
And so that I took quite hard, and then
that got your attention.
It did get my attention, and then I myself had a situation. This was just before New Year's 2017. I was down in Queenstown, and I went out with a friend. This was on the 30th of December, so the day before New Year's Eve. Yeah. And, you know, what was meant to be just some casual drinks, you know, we had just arrived in Queenstown, ended up becoming a really big night. You know, Jager bombs, shots, the whole lot, and, you know, me getting asked to leave the bar. And then I went into blackout, and I hadn't really blacked out before. Like, most of the time it was all a bit of a haze, and I could mm-hmm. piece it all together, but I just remember sort of leaving the waterfront in Queenstown, and then my next memory is getting woken up by some people, and they said to me, like, who are you and what are you doing in our house and why are you in my bed? And that really, really scared me.
You woke up in someone else's house and you have no idea how you got there?
No, not at all. Not in the slightest. And so because I had already heard about what happened to my friend in Melbourne, I was like, well, that could have been me.
Yeah.
And of course that combined just with what was going on in my head probably for that past year, you know, really put me on notice and made me think I really needed to change something.
Wow. Did you ever lose any jobs through drinking, or did you ever have any drink driving charges or anything like that, kind of that nature?
No, I didn't lose any jobs or anything like that. I did, when I was 19, had my first drink driving conviction. Mm-hmm. Stupidly, it was while driving a scooter.
Scooter?
And that didn't really, I just thought I was unlucky at that point in time, as opposed to actually having a problem.
Yes.
Yep.
So how did you feel in your decline in your mental and emotional and spiritual well-being? What was that like at the end?
It was pretty tough.
Yeah.
I tried different things. I tried controlled drinking. I thought, okay, I tried to compartmentalize things. Maybe if I got into the gym and started physical exercise, that would help me feel better.
Yep.
That sort of thing. And, you know, I achieved a limited degree of success with that. There were times where I'd go to social events and, you know, I would have a few, you know, reach that happy medium and kept it tidy, and that was fine. But then it was sort of like the luck of the draw as to whether
you never knew if you were, some nights wouldn't be any trouble, but you never knew when.
Yeah, that's right. And that night in Queenstown, I wasn't expecting that to be a big night, and it just became one. And police got involved, spent a night in the cells. You know, it was very embarrassing.
Yeah. Wow. How did you find your way to your first AA meeting?
So
what was that like?
And that's interesting as well, because in the lead up to all of that, I actually met two people in the fellowship, and they never, you know, said to me, "Oh, look, Caleb, I think you've got a problem and you need to come to AA." But they just, you know, in conversation and getting to know these people, they just told me their story and what worked for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I really do put that down to my higher power, because when I did have that situation in Queenstown, and when I decided that I had had enough, I knew exactly where I needed to go. So not long after that situation in Queenstown, I called up one of those people and saying, I'm on my way home, I've had enough, like I'm a wreck. And he says, okay, let's meet up. And then we met up on New Year's Day 2017, across the road from the Knox Church there on Bealey Ave.
Wow.
And I told him what had happened, and you know, and he says, well, there's a meeting across the road.
Yeah, right across the road.
Yep. And so we went.
Yep. How easy is that? And how did you find the first AA meeting? Did you find the other members welcoming?
I really did. Like, whilst that first meeting was all a bit of a blur, there was so much going on in my head. I did get the sense, and you know, I was asked to speak, and I shared a bit about myself, and I did get that feeling where everybody was there genuinely concerned for me, and they wanted me to find the help that I wanted.
Yeah, that's a good thing. So, how have you managed to stay sober since then? What's the process of recovery been like for you?
Yeah, the process of recovery has been, you know, reasonably straightforward for me. Part of it is because probably I had seen it work for people even before I started going to AA.
Mm-hmm.
So it was suggested to me by, you know, this person that I met with, who's subsequently become my sponsor, to do the 90 meetings in 90 days.
Yep.
You know, which, you know, at the onset sounded like a big ask, but then I became quite surprised at how easy it was to achieve.
Mm.
I just kept doing it, kept in regular contact with my sponsor, and then we just started, got the ball rolling, working through the steps as well. And regular meeting attendance is a big part of it for me. You know, readings, prayer, and a little bit of meditation, though I wouldn't describe myself as an overly spiritual person. But all of that combined has helped me stay sober, and I'm just really grateful.
How do you cope with difficulties sober?
I think one of the things that I've really held on to working this program is just to remind myself that I can't control people, places, and things.
Mm-hmm.
And And that's helped me just put in, take everything with a new, or look at things with a new perspective. And so I just have to look at what I can do for myself and what I can do to help a situation or potentially not help it, and focus on doing things right as far as I see them. If it doesn't come together, it clearly just, it's out of my control. So I just simply need to hand that over to my higher power. And that has really helped me through this. And of course, just working, talking to my sponsor when I need it, talking to others in the fellowship, because there's a wealth of knowledge, wisdom out there. People who've been in this program a lot longer than I, who have been through similar situations, know what I'm going through.
Yes. How important has service been as a part of your recovery?
Look, I'll admit, Kerry, service is one of these things that I do need to work on.
Are you doing service now?
Yeah, so I have taken on some service positions, albeit simple things like being a mainstay rep at a meeting, which is just as simple as getting up and saying something brief about our meeting in print at our meeting on Sunday nights. And I'll admit, just even something as small as that helps make sure that I keep going back.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
How would you describe yourself and the life you have today?
Yeah.
How do you feel within yourself? What have the inner changes been like?
Yeah. Of course, it's still early days for me, 20 months in it. But if I was to take the person that I was, on the 1st of January 2017 and look at me now, I'm just, incredibly grateful for the progress that I've made thus far. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm less anxious in my approach, just to life. I don't worry so much. I'm a bit more settled, and I can take time to think things over before making rash decisions. Even just in the space of the past 20 months, I've sort of started to really tidy things up, in my life, even with my finances, that sort of thing. When I was drinking, I would have phone calls from the IRD saying, "Caleb, you haven't paid your your GST money. Where is it?" And it was all sitting there, but I just couldn't be bothered. I couldn't be bothered doing it. But now, I've got an accountant on board. She keeps me on track because I've recognised this isn't something that I'm good at. I'll get someone else who can do that for me.
And, perfect.
Things like that, finding enjoyment in the simple things.
And how have your relationships with friends and family and loved ones changed in sobriety?
My family have been really good about it, because none of them can really identify much, because none of them are big drinkers. Mm-hmm. They had glimpses of me and my alcoholism, and they didn't like what they saw. So they've told me that they are proud that I have made this call, and the progress that I've made. Friends, I've noticed, and it probably is just also just where I'm at in my age as well, that my circle of friends has gotten smaller, just as people have moved away and that sort of thing. But the friends that I have close to me are really supportive, and I don't feel any pressure from them at all. And there's a lot of understanding. I think there's a lot more knowledge of people's struggles with substance abuse and mental health issues out there now. So yes. I find people in my generation and my peers very understanding, which is great.
That is great. What are your goals for the future?
Goals for the future.
Goals for the future.
Hey.
Because now you have one.
Yeah. And hey, I'm so glad I did find this fellowship and this program, at the age that I am at, because I've got most of my life ahead of me, God willing, of course. I know this is something that I need to keep working at. I wouldn't call myself out as a model adherent to AA. I know I need to do more, and I've always been that type of person who knows what's good for them, but sometimes doesn't do it, or a lot of the time doesn't do it. Goals for the future, particularly in my business, I've been working alongside my father for the past 5 years, and we're now in the process of rolling out a succession plan. He's looking to move on from our line of work at the end of next year, and he has full confidence in me in handing the business over, which I don't think he would have had I not found this program.
Absolutely.
So where that takes me further down the track is quite exciting. And I'm quite encouraged moving into that capacity, but there's a lot that I still need to work through.
All the doors are open.
Yeah, absolutely.
What would you suggest for any listeners that think that they may have a drinking problem? What advice do you wish someone had given you when drinking had become a problem?
My advice is that if you, and I've heard this said before as well, if you think you have a problem, you probably do. Check at a meeting. You know, nobody's going to laugh at you there, because everyone who is at a meeting is there to better themselves.
Exactly.
And there is a lot of compassion and concern in the rooms. You'll only find help if the meeting that you go to, you know, doesn't quite tick your boxes. Go to another one, because every meeting's different. Give it a go. You know, it could be a case of maybe you're just not ready for it yet if it doesn't work out for you.
AA is described as a spiritual program. What does spirituality mean to you?
So spirituality is one of those interesting things for me. Of course, I said earlier that I was raised in a Pentecostal Christian home, so they're, you know, very spiritual in their approach, you know, speaking in tongues, rolling on the floor.
Yep. I've done that.
I moved away from that after I left home, you know, went into university and drinking. And so I dismissed that part of my life. I'd say now that I've found my own spirituality, you know, of course with my sexuality as well, that just did not gel with me.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing I love about AA and the fellowship is that it's a simple program. You know, the 12 steps, all they're laid out for you in terms of your higher power. It doesn't have to be, for me, I realise it doesn't have to be, you know, this rigid social construct that was placed on me growing up.
How do you see the difference of what is spirituality? How does it differ from religion? How do you see that difference?
I think it's a very personal thing that you can make work for you.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has their own sense of spirituality, and I love that AA is set up in such a way that it can accommodate that. So you can take the good from the bad. And that's effectively what I've done with my own higher power and my conception of one, is to take the God that I grew up with, but then remove all the baggage that I didn't like. And that's what I use as my higher power now.
That sounds good. So what does life lived on a spiritual basis look like? This is the last question.
That's a good question.
Very good question.
And I'm not sure if I'll actually be able to answer that. I think it's about acknowledging that I'm not the be-all and end-all, that I'm accountable to something greater than myself. And so spirituality for me, you know, when I'm doing things right, is about, you know, reading the literature, and even other things there that are to supplement that, and a simple prayer at the beginning and end of each day, which is, and often my prayer at the beginning of the day is to express gratitude for what I've got so far, and what I have now. I ask for my higher power to grant me another sober day, and to help me become a better person, and to help other people. And there might be other people there that I have in mind that I know need help, that I know that are going through some tough times, and also focus on them. So it's about getting out of myself in a way, I guess you could say.
Yeah, that's a good answer. Caleb, thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing your story with us.
Thanks, Gary. Great to be here.
For our listeners, if you've related to anything that you've heard or would like some more information about Alcoholics Anonymous, you can look us up on the web at www.aa.org.nz, or call us on 0800 AA Works. There are 66 meetings a week in Canterbury, so it's likely there's one near you. Join us next week to hear from more AA members sharing their experiences. Our show airs every Monday at 6 p.m. on Plains FM and repeats on Wednesday at 12:30 p.m. You can find podcasts of all our past shows on the Plains FM website at plainsfm.org.nz. You can also use iTunes to download shows as well. Well, that brings us to the end of the show. Thank you for listening. And remember, if you want to drink, that's your business. But if you want to stop, we can help. You don't have to do it alone. We will now close the show with a serenity prayer all together, as we do in every AA meeting. God,
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
The difference. You can also, we'd love to hear from listeners, so if you would like to send an email to Plains FM, you can find the address on the website. You've been listening to the Alcoholics Anonymous radio show on Plains FM 96.9. Desperate.